B-Pod Studios.
Website Boston Sports Fans need, and it's safe for work.
Oh, they're looking for that.
They haven't seen anything like that, nor has anybody. I haven't seen one.
98.5, thesportshub.com.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's another theory on the Jaylen Brown head shaking. This is from Colby on Twitter. So Jaylen Brown is shaking his head because the Nets want Marcus Smart included in the trade. Brown is trying to get away from him, not join him elsewhere. And that's what's prompting the shaking of the head. I'm starting to think maybe, just maybe, the shaking of the head couldn't be a resignated, depressed response. Jaylen Brown shaking his head because it's just so patently untrue. Just shaking. No, no, no. That could be another. Now, that's from Jaylen Brown's viewpoint. It could be true, but he just doesn't believe it. And he hasn't certainly been consulted on any of this. So he could be shaking his head because of the ludicrous nature of it all. Just because he feels there in no way, shape, or form is this any kind of a thing in reality. Doesn't mean it's not, but the shaking of the head from Jaylen Brown could be a couple of things. Shaking his head, I can't believe they're doing this to me again. Or shaking his head because, this is, what are you talking about? No one's having this. SMH. That's all we get from Jaylen Brown. SMH.
If it wasn't Woj and Shams, then I'd maybe agree with that. But those aren't guys who just make stuff. That's like, those are the two main guys in the NBA. They both have the same story, and they both had it today. Now, I don't doubt that Sean Marks in Brooklyn is the reason why this thing came out. And I think, McCarthy, you're probably onto something with that. I think they probably let this out and sort of made it into the story that it is now. But then that's on Brad Stevens. I just saw Lifshatz tweet that, and he's totally right. If you inquire on Kevin Durant and you make an offer like that, I think that you have to assume that someone like Sean Marks, who's trying to drive up the price, is going to say something about it and have that come back to you. So, here we are. The Celtics now have more pressure, I think, to trade Jaylen Brown, knowing that this information is out there. That's a big problem for them. So Sean Marks played this pretty well. I think he's played this whole thing pretty well from the very beginning since Durant requested the trade. I think the Brooklyn Nets have done a pretty good job with all of this so far.
Well, they haven't gotten a trade for Durant yet, so I'm not exactly ready to say Sean Marks has done a brilliant job at this.
Well, they haven't gotten ripped off either, the worst-case scenario, they bring back Durant and Kyrie. I think that's pretty good.
All right, but you
they
said,
didn't get a crap return on Kevin Durant yet, so far yet. He's done a good job.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to give him a slightly incomplete grade there. But yeah. You said this isn't made up because it's coming from Woj and Shams at the same time. No, it's not made up. And I want to direct this to Greeny and all the baby Celtics fans out there.
Oh, boy.
They're not making it up. Where are your sources? Where are your sources? No, they're not making it up. What if your source misled you? What if your source deliberately misled you? Woj and Shams aren't making this up out of thin air. They've heard this. They've heard this from somebody. There's enough that they've heard that makes them go forward with the report. What if the report, what if the information that was given to them is disingenuous? This happens all the time. All the time across sports. Reporters don't make things up. They hear bad things. They hear misinformation because they get deliberately misled because somebody out there is trying to alter the market a little bit. That's what I think is happening here. I think Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets are trying to drive up the price, and they're using the Celtics to do so.
Well, the Celtics have had about 12 hours to deny this story, McCarthy, and they haven't done that yet. So if it's blatantly untrue, if there's no truth to it, and it's just Brooklyn making stuff up to affect the market, then why hasn't Brad Stevens come out and said no, or this isn't, there's no truth to any of this? I think that they checked with the Celtics and found out that offer actually was made. I don't think they would go to print with it if it wasn't.
All right, let's go to Ian in North Andover. Ian, you're on with Arkham, McCarthy, and Hardy. What's going on?
Yeah, I think... I don't think Kevin Durant has tough enough skin to play in Boston. He's 33 years old. He's coming off an ACL injury. He makes $44 million a year. It's way more than Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was our best player in the finals. I wouldn't do this trade straight up. I think Jaylen Brown's gotten better every year. I think he outplayed Kevin Durant in round one. And I think this is a big mistake. I think they're playing with fire.
I don't think Kevin Durant has tough enough skin to play in Orlando. I don't think that's up for debate at all. But the guy can play. Now, how he handles it mentally, well, he hasn't handled anything all that well mentally, I don't think. So what you have to convince yourself of, if you want Kevin Durant here, is that, well, whatever talent he has is going to be good enough to make up for whatever he lacks in the mental makeup department. And it was just, you know, him playing alongside Jason Tatum, that's going to be enough. I mean, you know, whether he is, you know, fully equipped to handle the stress and pressure of playing in Boston. No, of course not. That's not him. You're getting the player and his skill set. That's it. Don't think that you're going to get anything else out of this, because I don't think you are. Go to Shaggy in the car. Shaggy, what's going on? Shaggy. Oh, it's Monday. You're probably not looping today.
No, gentlemen. First of all, how's everybody been? All right?
Yeah, we're all
right. What's up, Shag?
Delightful, Shaggy.
How's everybody? Mac, how's it going on, Mac, and everybody behind the glass? It's good. Well, I may be looping. I'll find out in about 20 minutes. A little traffic. I'm going over to the river, so I'll see one of my girls if she has anybody on the back for the senior woman's.
Okay. All good.
So that being said, I totally agree. I mean, Hardy, you taste good. Mac, being a reporter, I get it. You know, we've all been in the room and deal with reporters. I get it, but I don't like giving up for age. I mean, why break up the chemistry for an older guy who I believe doesn't play for rings? He just plays for money. There's something here with this team. Adversity builds greatness. Don't break them up. Add some pieces of the puzzle just for a two-year plan. Forget that. Let's just see what the boys can do and maybe get out there and, you know, play a little golf or just go have lunch and hash out in Nantucket, wherever you guys want to go, and just get back to shooting in August and see what happens.
You know, a lot can be settled on the golf course. You're right. Jason Tatum, you know, took the game up. He's coming along. I don't know if Jaylen Brown plays, but that, you know, that's Shaggy's answer to a lot of things, and it should be the answer for a lot of people. And just you got time for nine? Let's do nine holes. Nine holes, grab lunch, we'll figure it out. Right?
Yeah, sure.
It's amazing what you can work out on the course. Why not?
I like to take that Kevin Durant doesn't play for rings. That's the hottest take we've heard all day. Kevin Durant didn't go to Golden State to win rings there? Is that really a take? That's the hottest one so far today, I think.
I'm not agreeing with
hotter
everything
than the guy
Shaggy
who compared Jaylen Brown to Michael Jordan?
No, you're right. Sorry. Close second. Yeah. Close second to the Jordan Jaylen Brown guy. Definitely.
Nathan.
And then Thino actually third behind Trey Tatum instead. Then the Jaylen Brown Jordan guy. And then Shaggy with the with whatever he said. Yeah.
Okay. Just
Luke
keep
warm
a list.
Take.
Keep a list and keep shuffling them as need be. Nathan in Atlanta. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, guys. I just want to call in and talk about basically, I think this whole idea, you know, that you've got that, okay, if you stay younger, you've got a longer window. I think that's all a farce. I say push all the chips in. Who's to say that, you know, Brown doesn't want to up and leave? I think Tatum might even want to up and leave. So go all in. Tatum and Durant are going to come up at the same time. They'll both be free agents. Push all the chips in. Go for it now. Feels like the Ainge era where, you know, you're sort of, okay, let's hold on, get younger, stay younger, keep going. I don't know about that. I think you got to go all in now at Durant. And, you know, if it all blows up 4 years from now, well, so be it.
All right, Nathan, thank you. The foregone conclusion of Brown leaving. Arcan, you make sense. I understand. It's probably more likely than not, but I also don't think it's a foregone conclusion. What I do believe is a foregone conclusion is that Durant is not going to be anywhere near the player in 2 years that he was, say, 2 years ago or even is now.
Sure.
That much you can set your watch by in terms of players in the NBA and when they stop being effective, especially when you're expecting him to be Kevin Durant. You know, you're not expecting him to be a suitable role player. No, you're expecting Kevin Durant things. And 2 years from now, you can say goodbye to that.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, Kevin Durant did not look good in that final series, I thought. He was turning the ball over a ton. Grant Williams and Jaylen Brown and all these guys kind of locked him up on defense, and that was the only sweep of the entire playoffs. The Brooklyn Nets were the only team that got swept in the entire NBA postseason. So, I mean, you know, Kevin Durant may be in trouble right now in terms of his abilities, and I recognize that. That's why I wouldn't do this trade straight up if I thought Brown was willing to stay here. And you're right, Hardy. I mean, foregone conclusions sort of are what they are. Like, I don't think anything's a foregone conclusion, but Brown's available for an extension. Like, he's up for one. They can give him one. They can offer him one, and I hope they do, and we'll see if he takes it or not. And if he doesn't, I think we'll have a, I don't know, not the complete answer, because you can go out in the open market and make more money, but I think we'll have an idea of where this thing might be going.
All right, it's taken over. We've still got calls on the board about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, Kevin Durant, of course, Marcus Smart. There really haven't been a lot of conversation about Marcus Smart in terms of being part of this. I mean, it's mostly about Jaylen Brown. I want to talk a little bit more about Marcus Smart and what including him in this deal would mean and how it affects the team. So let's talk a little bit more about that as we continue here. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy, McCarthy, and Arkan all filling in today on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Used to have the trainer slap him before every game.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Slap me, come on. Slap me harder.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy McCarthy, Arkan filling in. 617-779-0985.
McCarthy left.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. There he is.
No, he's back. All
right, nice of you to join us, McGrath.
Yeah, no, it's good to be here. Sorry, we got a long way to walk to the kitchen here.
Oh,
beautiful
to,
building, though.
What'd you have to go to the kitchen for?
I was thirsty. Got to stay hydrated. Where we got that? A little water there.
Are you allowed to have beverages in that studio?
Nobody's told me no.
Okay.
That'd be a good way to lose my job.
Going to be there tomorrow. I got to know what I'm in for.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart is reportedly what Brooklyn wants in this trade in order to send Kevin Durant to the Celtics, along with Jaylen Brown. They want maybe a draft pick or two, another player, but it's got to be Marcus Smart. Does that change the dynamic at all for you? Does that change your decision-making process in this at all?
No, I don't think so. I think that at some point, Brad Stevens has to not get ripped off here. I mean, you know, this is a situation that he's trying to do what's best for his team, and I don't think that he wants to lose Jaylen Brown plus, you know, another fan favorite and a guy who does have some value. I don't think Marcus Smart would land you anything great on his own, but I think throwing him into this trade would be excessive, you know, for him. And I'm not the biggest fan of Marcus Smart, but I think, you know, he's a pretty good point guard. He's defensive player of the year. You know, this is the type of move where Jaylen Brown's clearly the centerpiece, and I'm surprised Brooklyn wasn't happy with someone like Derek White. I think Brooklyn was just trying to, you know, blow all these offers out of the water and get some big godfather deal, and they never got one. So now they're sort of circling back to the offers they did get. That's what it seems like to me. I don't think the Celtics need to include Marcus Smart. They can hold out here, too, if this is something they want to really do, because just like the Celtics don't want to start a season with an angry Jaylen Brown, I don't think Brooklyn wants to bring Durant back. They're willing to do it, but they don't want to do that. They know that it's a fractured relationship right now with him and Kyrie and the front office and everything else. They have to say that, yeah, we'll bring him back if we need to, because they don't want to lose that leverage. But I think that all in all, they just assume get rid of him too.
Yeah, I don't know what you get in a one-for-one trade with Marcus Smart, but I'm pretty confident that he is a player that every team in the league would be interested in. And for that reason alone, his value goes up. And to include him in this type of deal seems like that's too much. That's too much to ask. regardless of how you feel about Marcus Smart, just think about him as his value around the league. And that, is there a team that couldn't use Marcus Smart just for his defense alone? I think he's of great value just about to anybody. So to kind of include him to get the deal done, it seems like you're giving away too much.
I don't know about that. I don't know if he's a great deal for anybody. If you traded him to, like, the Sacramento Kings, I don't think he's going to make that team any better. But I do think he could make a contending team better, and a contending team would have interest in him, which is another reason why I think the Celtics should be careful about that. Because if you let him go and he goes to the Miami Heat or something, then you got to deal with him every time you play him. And that's, you know, that's not something they want. So, yeah, you got to be careful with Smart. I don't think he's a guy that would fetch a big package on his own, like you said there, Hardy. But I don't think he's someone you just give away either.
All right, let's go to, is it Lakar in Boston? Do I have your name right there, Lakar?
Yes, that's it. Thank
okay.
you.
What's going on?
I got a few things if you can hold tight with me. First of all, when you really think about it, think about the past players, people like Dirk Nowitzki, Tim Duncan, even Reggie Miller. How often do great players now stay with one team? And then how often do you hear a rumor similar like this go on and it never gets done?
Okay,
eventually,
so
it does seem like he's going.
You're talking about Jaylen Brown. He's going to eventually be going.
Right, but I'm saying that nowadays great players don't stay with one team from start to finish no more.
No, it's a rarity, and I think that's kind of Arcan's point, is he's going to be gone in 2 years for a variety of reasons, right? Players don't stick around, but for the next, let's just think about it in the terms of the next 2 years. Just for the next 2 years, this team was that close to winning the championship as currently constituted. Brogdon's here now, and I think you can reasonably expect them to play a little bit better. Certainly at the first part of the year, they were terrible at the start of last season. But if this team plays better from the outset, and then they find something else going into the end of the season and into the playoffs, they can be better, and they're that much closer, and they were already that close to winning the championship. So forget about 2 years from now. What do you have right now? What do you have right now with this team? Are they good enough to get past the Milwaukee Bucks with a healthy Chris Middleton, McCarthy? Can the Celtics put that team on the... See, I think they are too. And that seems to be a big sticking point where a lot of people said, like, look, forget it. You wouldn't have beat Milwaukee this year if they had Chris Middleton. Maybe not. What about next year? What about next year with this team who found something this past season and proved to themselves and to everyone else that they're worthy of being there? Now we're talking about next year.
Yeah, you can beat the Bucks. You beat the Bucks last year, granted, without Middleton. But, I don't know, you're better too, right? You just got Malcolm Brogdon.
Yep.
And again, I'm not saying it's 100% going to work, but on paper, I think the Celtics are the best team in the Eastern Conference. I do. I firmly believe that. Now, you bring Durant in, on paper, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. But if you're asking me what has a better chance to work out, and again, it's such a green teamer take, I think this current form of the Celtics has a better chance to work out because, frankly, I've seen it. I've seen it come close to working out. I saw that they got to the finals. It feels to me that they're building something here. If you bring Durant in, of course the talent is off the charts, and the idea of having Durant and Tatum is tantalizing. But there's no guarantee that that works. I'm sorry. How many super duos, and super teams appear to be a thing in the past in the NBA, how many super duos have not worked out? I would point to Durant and Kyrie Irving, and then they tried to build a super team with James Harden, then he was gone. Then that didn't work out. Has the Kawhi-Paul George thing worked out with the Clippers? I don't know. I feel like this current iteration of the Celtics is the best chance that they have. Is it the most talented version of the Celtics that you could have if you traded Brown and Smart for Durant? No, it's not. But I think it's the best team that they could put together, and I believe in that.
All right, let's go to Michelle in South Carolina. Michelle, thanks. Oh, Michelle, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, everybody.
Let's watch it. We don't want to have to dump you again.
I know. I'm trying to get better at that.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if they can do this, but have they ever, like, say if they call in Brown, and they start the process now and just say they call his bluff. And because I don't know if they really want to get rid of him, but I know they think that he's going to want to leave. So what if they call his bluff and say they want to start talks and they get a feel of it first? Like, I don't know if something like that happens, but if they do feel like he wants to leave, I wouldn't include Smart because we don't know about Brogdon's injuries. And I think Smart needs to stay here and just give Brown and whatever top picks if they really want to get him for Durant. And do you think Durant would be able to handle Boston because it is Tatum's team? And if we get on Tatum, we're going to get on Durant probably just as bad or maybe worse.
Okay.
Hold on,
Michelle, because there's a couple of points you made there that I don't think you can just take at face value. Number one, about calling Jaylen Brown's bluff. I think Jaylen Brown does want to play here. He just wants to not be mentioned in trade rumors all the time. I think he wants to feel a little more wanted here and a little more appreciated here. But it's not like he's begging. He's not asking for the trade. It's Kevin Durant who has said quite clearly, I want to be traded from the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, yes, it is Kevin Durant who is asked to be traded.
Oh, shit.
Okay, thank you.
I love her.
I had to reset a little bit there. I didn't even want to bring up what we're going to be talking about next with Michelle because she's a big fan of the PGA Tour, and she not so much of the LIV, but we're going to be shuffling onto that here in a moment, mostly due to Charles Barkley. But that's coming up here in a couple more minutes. Brendan in the car. What's up, Brendan?
Not much. How do I follow that up?
Good luck.
Three quick points here. The first one is I do agree this whole media leakage here has got to be some kind of gamesmanship. Whether it's on the Nets front office or the Celtics trying to, get a little feel for where Jaylen Brown is at, there's definitely an aspect of that here. And also, is there a way that there's a package available that can just include Marcus Smart? He's obviously the expendable piece now with the Brogdon addition. And then the caller earlier, I don't know how he doesn't see how Kevin Durant, that man is motivated as ever right now to prove people wrong, and that's why he wants to leave the Nets. He wants to win. He's obviously felt slighted with being the extra piece in the Golden State Championship. That man is motivated as ever to win. So if there's a way to bring him in and keep Tatum and Brown, I don't know how we wouldn't do that.
I don't connect those same dots with Kevin. Yeah, Brendan, I don't connect those same dots with Kevin Durant. You know, your brief psychoanalysis of how he's thinking and what his mentality is, I don't know about you guys, Arkham, but what you just said to me does not describe Kevin Durant as a guy who's out to prove everybody wrong. Is that where he's at?
No, I don't think so. I think Kevin Durant's tried something with his friend in Brooklyn. It didn't work out, and now he's sort of looking around for the best possible thing. We remember he said, well, he didn't say it, but at first it was Phoenix, right? Wasn't he like laser focused on going to the Phoenix Suns, and that's who he wanted to get traded to, and he was hoping that Marks and them would work out a trade. Now they re-signed Ayton, so he obviously can't be part of it. I don't know if they're even still in the mix or not, but even if they are, none of these teams are going to put together something better with a better centerpiece than Jaylen Brown. It's just not going to happen. No one's going to do that. So the Celtics have the advantage there.
All right. Final call for now anyway on the Celtics is Finn, who is in Bar Harbor. Finn, what do you have for us?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I feel like, when you have an opportunity to get, in my opinion, a top three, top five player in the game, it's just a no-brainer. Like, if the Patriots could get Cooper Kupp, or if the Red Sox could get Shohei.
What? Hello? What? All right.
That's that main connection, man. I'll tell
there
you.
There we go.
Yeah.
Aha,
yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Give a call back a little bit later because we're going to pivot over here to what could be the latest defector to the LIV, and that is one Charles Barkley. I'm sorry, Michelle, but he was on Dan Patrick talking about it earlier today.
He is?
Well, we don't know yet, but it very well could be, and David Faraday is already gone.
He is?
Yes, he's already left.
Oh, shit.
All right, more on that coming up. Arkan has the headlines here on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Guy who has to put up with both of them. Hardy.
Hey, nice shirt. Where'd you get that? At the crappy shirt store? Just kidding. How you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand.
And Hardy. How you doing?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know most of the numbers just were reported. I know, you know, somebody say Phil Mickelson got $200 million. I'm like, you take that money. Somebody said Dustin Johnson got $150 million and Bryson and Brooks. I'm like, $150 million to play golf 15 times a year? I have no problem with those guys taking that money. And if they offer me something crazy, I'm going to take it too.
What's crazy?
Well, consider how much money I make now, it would take a really huge number for me to give up my life right now. I mean, I'm not going to give up my life for... I don't like talking about how much money I make.
Okay, so let's say you make $20 million total, endorsements okay. And TNT.
That's fair.
That's fair. I might be a little high on that. Let's say...
Well, just for the record, you're not. Okay, let's get that out of the way.
Okay. All right, so I'm in the ballpark. Right.
Yeah. You. Number one, you sitting on the front row. Brother.
Okay. All right. So let's say they come back and they go, we're gonna triple it.
Well, next time, if they triple it, and next time I'm on your show,
yeah.
The first question better be, Charles, what are we celebrating at tonight?
I didn't believe that was Charles Barkley at the beginning of that clip. Doesn't sound like him, does it?
No, it sounded weird. Yeah, I agree with it.
But that was
by the end it did.
Yeah, exactly. That's on Dan Patrick's show earlier today where, okay, so the latest, LIV Golf, and we already know that David Faraday leaving NBC, he's going to be an analyst for LIV Golf. Next tournament coming up is just a few days from now, July 29th through the 31st at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster. Then here in Boston, September 2nd through the 4th at the International. So a little ways outside of Boston, but those are the next two events coming up. And yeah, there have been lots of talks about Charles Barkley joining. And as has been the case with these other guys who have either left the PGA Tour or left the network, it's kind of like an all or nothing proposition, and LIV has made it profitable for those guys who have left behind either the PGA Tour or, in Faraday's case, NBC, to say, sure, I'll go do that and nothing else, and they're going to pay me enough money to make it worthwhile. Charles Barkley would be the latest should they come up with something that would eclipse his $20 million a year salary. So, There's a lot to get to with this, but let's kind of work backwards a little bit and go with the latest defector from the golf side. And that was Henrik Stenson, who said, yeah, he's going to go do it. And the first thing they did was strip him of his Ryder Cup captaincy for Europe in 2023. Matt McCarthy, you and I have not talked at LIV Golf yet. And with Henrik Stenson leaving and showing that it's not just the PGA Tour who you have to say goodbye to. You have to also apparently say goodbye to your Ryder Cup affiliations. Does this seem fair to you? What do you think this is doing to golf in general?
I mean, overall, I don't think it's good for the long-term health of golf, but do I begrudge somebody like Henrik Stenson for saying a lot of money or being the Ryder Cup captain? No, I don't begrudge, frankly, anybody who's going over there at this point. Listen, is the money dirty? Absolutely, 100%. Don't tell me that you wouldn't make the same decision, to be totally honest. So, no, I mean, listen, I ultimately think this is horrible for golf in the long term. I'm just fascinated to see how many guys ultimately do defect and how long the LIV really is a thing. Like, let's be totally honest. I'm not sitting down and watching the LIV, Hardy. I'm a golf guy, but I haven't watched a single second of it. I don't know if I really plan on doing it. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to the event in Boston. Maybe, just because I like golf. But other than that, am I sitting down and watching the LIV whenever the thing's going on? No, I'm generally not.
Arcand, I think for the LIV, it's two separate conversations. There is the political, ethical, even like a moral conversation. But just from a sporting side of it, this is where I've kind of come down on the LIV so far, is whatever they're doing with their 54-hole tournaments and their shotgun start and the guys who have gone over there, they haven't made me care about it yet. I don't care. These are essentially exhibition matches that are taking place, and they're paying the guys a bunch of money just for signing up. And you're getting $120,000 even if you finish DFL in one of these tournaments, and you still have a chance at making a bunch of money through the team competition aspect of it. I just don't find it compelling from a spectator standpoint. They haven't done anything yet to make me want to watch.
Yeah, I think it's a very XFL kind of vibe. The first time the XFL came around back in like 2000, you remember, or 2001, and it was sort of the same thing. It was like a league. The best players in that league could have played in the NFL. Maybe some of them, I think, ended up doing that and sort of going back and forth. But no one cared about it outside of seeing it with the new rule changes, like you said, the shotgun starts and stuff like that. That'll get people interested for, you know, maybe a month or two. But all in all, people want to watch the best players. People are going to want to watch the best players competing, and the PGA still has that. Now, if LIV continues to sort of lure these guys away and really bolster their roster, then maybe it can be more competitive. But right now, I don't see it. I think they're going to run into that same problem the XFL did. Yeah, they're golfing. They're out there, you know, hitting balls, and, you know, there's some names that you recognize, and there's the he-hate-me's out there. Everybody's buying those jerseys. But, like, for the most part, it's pretty much, you know, the minor leagues. That's how it's going to get looked at. And they can, you know, throw all the money they want to at Charles Barkley and Faraday and the rest of these guys. They need the players. That's what matters.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be totally honest, Hardy, like, is there a single guy over there that really interests you? And you're a hardcore golf guy. And I mean,
this is a minor leagues. They got guys who have won major championships. I would still watch Brooks Koepka play or Bryson DeChambeau. And, you know, Sergio doesn't care about winning anymore. He got his one major championship, and he shed the moniker of the best player ever to never win a major. So he's not all that interested in winning anymore. But, you know, they have good players. Dustin Johnson is a good player. These guys still have, I think, plenty of good golf left in them. The problem is now, what's the incentive to win? More money? If you're Dustin Johnson, you get handed a check over the next 10 years that it's going to amount to $120 million. Do you really need the $4 million for winning another tournament? It would be nice, but you don't need it. You know, you don't need to win to stay on the tour like other players who are on the PGA Tour. Ricky Fowler, who lost his car because he didn't win enough, that's incentive to go out there and win. If you just get thrown a big chunk of money and you get to live the life of an entourage character on the private jets and the party planes and all that stuff, very good for you, has no interest for me. I don't get to, you know, experience any of that. You know, a bunch of golf bros just out there making a ton of money, and they don't care if they win or lose. What's compelling about that? What's interesting about it? They have some interesting players. They do have some good players. This is not the XFL. But to your other point, how long does it last? To me, that is one of the big questions, and why they're doing it in the first place. I can't come up with a good reason as to why LIV Golf is throwing all this money at an entity that cannot make money. They can't make money the way it's set up right now with a YouTube TV stream and the amount of money that they're guaranteeing these guys and the amount of money they're spending to put them up and take care of the caddies and all that stuff. It's a money-losing venture, and that's why it's so difficult for the PGA Tour to fight it. It's not a fair fight. You're going up against bottomless pockets of the Saudis who can just keep throwing money at this thing as long as they want to. The question then becomes, how long do they want to?
So Hardy, though, like you said, there are some interesting players over there, but are you interested enough in Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau or Brooks Koepka to watch? Like, and conversely, let's say that the majors started to keep those guys out. It's not like I'm not going to tune into the Open last weekend or tune into the U.S. Open or the Masters every year because all of a sudden Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka aren't there. Like, I'm going to watch those golf events basically no matter who's playing in it because it's the Open at St. Andrews. Correct. Or it's the U.S. Open at the Country Club, or it's the Masters every year. Like, not to say, like, golf is immune from not having stars and not having golfers, but I don't know. I watch those tournaments either way, no matter who wins them, because I like watching golf, and I like watching golf at its best, and I like watching golf the way I know golf, and that's golf at St. Andrews, golf at the Country Club, you know, whether it's this past year or 99, or golf at Augusta every single year.
So when it comes to how these guys are going to play in the majors, should they be allowed to participate? And I think they should be allowed to participate in both the Open Championship and the U.S. Open. Those are open. If you're good enough to play in them, you should be able to play in them. Masters and PGA, they have decisions to make. A, how good are they going to be after they've been off playing goofy golf for, you know, 10, 12 tournaments a year and not really playing against competition that is out there and hungry and eager to win? And also, when it comes to the media side of it, the guys who they've attracted so far, I have a couple of thoughts on Faraday and Barkley, but we'll get to those next on the other side. You're welcome to join us, too. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Couple more things on LIV Golf here on Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy, McCarthy, and Arkham filling in today. Number one, David Faraday going over from NBC to LIV. David Faraday is always one of these, has been one of these guys for years now who I should really like. Everything about him in terms of his, you know, his wit and his candor and his, I guess, willingness to say what other people wouldn't. Has kind of dried up, and Bob Herrig talks a little bit about it in his SI column. There's just, if Faraday were as good as everyone seems to think he is, then he would be great. He would be must-watch television every time he's on. But from his talk show to how he is on the broadcast now, I don't view that as much of a loss. I really don't. And nothing against Faraday. I just, when I'm thinking about watching sporting events, I'm one of the last guys that really harps on who's doing the play-by-play, who's doing the color. It doesn't affect me, I think, as it does a lot of people. And for Faraday not to be involved in PGA Tour events or major championships, that's fine. It doesn't really affect me all that much. Barkley? Not having Barkley on basketball on TNT, I think that would be a loss for the network, and it'd be a loss for people who just enjoy watching basketball, watching the coverage. But I'll say this, if the LIV is planning on offering him a big chunk of change, if you think Barkley is ill-prepared when it comes to covering the NCAA tournament, just wait till he shows up at a golf tournament, and all he can really talk about is Tiger. That's it. Because, I mean, this guy has shown you it in both his personality and some of his commentary. Oh, if I'm going to get paid, all I want to talk about is where we're celebrating. Who cares? I mean, he's fun in, like, small doses when they're doing the match. I don't know if you guys saw him during the last match that took place with Brady and it was, what, Josh Allen?
Josh Allen and Rodgers and all them?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes and all that stuff. Barkley could not have cared less. You know, he's looking over at the casino, see if he can, you know, look at the tables there inside Encore and win. He doesn't care about golf, not enough to where he's going to sit there for hours on end, 10, 12 times a year, and do commentating on it. Forget it. I mean, you can't make a case that any of these guys are worth the money that they're paying him, but certainly not Barkley. It would just suck to have him off of basketball. But when it comes to, you know, maybe figuring out a way for these two entities to coexist, Herrick wrote about that in just an idea of what it might take for a compromise. And because the PGA Tour is, I don't think they're going to be able to fight this as a fair fight. You know, the LIV has unlimited resources, and they're doing this for reasons that are still undetermined. They want to have a shiny new toy and their own separate golf thing, and how do you compete against that if it doesn't have to make money? And it's not making any money. There's no way it can be making any money. So Herrick says, well, how about if you allow PGA Tour players and European Tour players to compete in LIV events? Well, in order to do that, you would have to drop the minimum number of tournaments that you have to play on the tours in order to go do both. Okay, well, that would be a nice thing for the PGA Tour to do. How does that help the PGA Tour? Well, Herrick says LIV Golf would help subsidize PGA Tour purses. What? In exchange for the rights to get any PGA Tour member, LIV could subsidize purses for events played opposite LIV events. What? Now, I know the LIV is like dumb money to spend. Why would they spend that money? Just to get a few guys to come over and play their tournaments? They're getting them anyway. They're just giving them a bunch of cash. How about if we give the cash directly to the players and have them resign their membership on the tours? So I don't know if LIV is going to be down with that. You know, the schedule is a big deal. How do you play both? Well, what if you move to a 10-10 model? LIV only requires guys to play 10 tournaments. PGA Tour drops their number of tournaments you have to play to 10. Okay, I suppose. But they also, Bob Herrick says, would have to come up with a way to somehow combine the points that you earn on the PGA Tour for the FedEx Cup and all this stuff, and also maybe do a separate thing for LIV, Durant's talent, abilities, anything. I do question the compete in that guy, and I question the wisdom in trading two more years with Jaylen Brown before, as some people think, he ultimately leaves versus 2 years with Kevin Durant. You're real close, right? You're real close as currently constituted. With Brogdon here now, I think you're even closer. You're moving in the right direction. Trading not only Jaylen Brown, but also Marcus Smart to get Kevin Durant? No. I'm not saying whoever picks up Kevin Durant isn't going to be better. I don't know that it makes you better. I think you're good. I don't know if it makes you better. What is this, like a unified belt in boxing? This is what helped kill boxing. Oh, he's a heavyweight champion of the world. According to who? You know, he's the number one player in the world, Dustin Johnson. What, LIV, PGA, the combined thing? The more you complicate it, the less likely people are to care and pay attention. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. The number one player in the world, according to what? According to who? According to what metric? So I think for these two to coexist is a bit of a pipe dream. You're going to be asking the PGA Tour to make concessions in terms of the number of times guys have to participate. You're also going to be asking the LIV to give money back to the PGA Tour. And you're also going to have to come up with some kind of metric that measures a golfer's success on both tours at the same time. Oh, good luck. I think what it comes down to is where I started on this thing to begin with is the PGA Tour might just have to wait this thing out.
Yeah.
They might just have to wait for the Saudis to get bored with this thing and realize it's not going to make any money and it's costing them a ton. And, oh, by the way, no one really seems to care. The streaming numbers on YouTube can't be enough to make this thing a worthwhile venture from a money standpoint. And if they're not getting anything out of it, and I don't know that they will, at what point do they just get bored with it? Like any shiny toy, and just kind of like drop the whole thing altogether.
Yeah, you got to wait a couple of years.
And it's probably going to take a couple of years, right? I don't know that it goes away for any other reason other than the organizers just getting bored with the whole thing. But in the interim, yeah, they're getting some good players. They're getting guys away from the PGA Tour that are draws. Bryson DeChambeau is still a draw. Dustin Johnson, still a draw. As for the other guys, some of the amateurs that they're signing, it sucks that these guys don't want to take a crack at the PGA Tour where you actually have to win in order to stay on it. But the allure of the money is so much. It is life-changing generational wealth for some of these guys, and they are not willing to pass that up for a crack at anything. They're not willing to take that risk. All right, one call on the LIV, and then we'll get back to the Red Sox, Celtics, maybe even mix in a little bit of Patriots here in our fourth and final hour, right after Arcan's Hub headlines here in 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.